Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office Equipment Solutions North America-wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
DIGITEX.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
When you win, you have a, you know, there's a camaraderie in the dressing room. You come in, everybody's in good spirits, and you know, it's easier to build. Like that game last night, there are some things we like. There are some things we have to do better, but it seems like it's always easier to get those points across after you win, you know. So guys are in good spirits today. We'll have an optional skate today, have a little skate tomorrow, and be ready for Saturday.
Here we go. That's Oilers head coach Dave Tippett. What was Nuke LaLucia's line from Bull Durham? Winning. You know, it's a lot better than losing. Oilers win 3-2 in a shootout last night. Hey, special shout-out to a friend of the show, a guy that did work a number of years ago on John Short's show, Colin Ruddle, well-known figure in our community, involved with Wow Factor Desserts. He helped make it a very special Stauffer Thanksgiving dinner, so much appreciated on that front. And just what I needed to gain another 6 or 7 pounds over a two-day span. So, again, one thing about Colin, he knows his hockey. He's known it for a long, long time here in town. Very quickly, before we go to Louis DeBrusque, IMAX says, Bob, regarding last night's game, Zach Hyman was excellent. Nuge was Nuge. I thought Yamo played more fearless, too. So it's great to see. 29 was just average, but he seems to be... He seems to reverse into games and seasons. Not concerned there. 97 should keep trying those rushes. Might be frustrating, but it wears down the D and makes the other team play the way they don't normally want to. That one comes to us from IMAC as we go to Louis DeBrusque. Sportsnet color analyst brought to you by GCL Diesel, providing genuine diesel parts and turbochargers at great prices since 1972. GCLDiesel.com. Hello, Louis. How you doing?
Hey, Bob, what's going on? Doing well today. How are you?
Oh, not bad. Optional. Came down to voice some spots down here at Chorus. So I'm in the warm, cozy confines of the Chorus building. So I'm a happy man. For the listeners, there's so much concentration on the quality of the ice at Rogers Place that it can be a little frigid sometimes during the day.
might think it's frigid, but the polar bear in me likes it.
Yeah, well, you are the polar bear.
I'm always pretty comfortable in there.
Yeah, you are, after all, the polar bear. Well, opening game, what were your thoughts last night as you were working that broadcast with Hunter Ryan watching the Oilers get the 3-2 shootout victory?
I'll tell you what a different atmosphere in that building, and so great to see it back to capacity and the crowd rocking last night. I don't know about for you, Bob, but for me, that's the first time I've been in the building live with fans, and it was outstanding. It was an incredible game. I thought it was a high-paced game right from the get-go. I thought both teams were coming out energized and had a different bite to their game, a tenacity. Yeah, there was some scrambly times, some turnovers and all that, and as Dave Tippett had mentioned in that little snippet that you showed, put on there, there's going to be some things they really liked about the games. There's things that both coaches are certainly going to address today, but I thought for both sides, they brought it on the ice. I think the fans really kind of injected some of that intensity into the game, and kind of how you'd expect between those two teams. They've seen each other a lot in the last year, not even, and you know what? They're going to see more of each other, and it was a real good start to the season, I think, just to be in that atmosphere and be able to call a game with that type of a crowd going nuts in there.
Perfect case teaching scenario for Dave Tippett as his team squandered the 2-0 lead because they ultimately got the victory in the shootout.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're going to try and learn from anything, but Exactly. You know, you get up in a game, a couple of goals, and, you know, the tendency typically is, you know, take your foot off that gas a little bit and just, you know, kind of settle into a routine. And there's a skill that goes along with that. And I think one thing under Dave Tippett this team has done very well is been able to, you know, the system that they approach the game with, it allows them to be comfortable in those tight situations. And we saw that last year. We saw it the year before. You know, both years this team was in the playoffs at the end of the year. And it's, you know, for me, it's just, it's managing the game and understanding where you are and what situation you're in. And that's just all part of the process. And, you know, I thought it was a great game. I really did. I thought, you know, both teams came out. I think the Canucks, both goaltenders were great, by the way. I thought Mike Smith was excellent carrying over what he did last year. The one goal that got by him that, you know, you could look up at the sky afterwards, it really was a flyby by Pettersson. You know, he goes right into his eyes, that quick little release by Hughes, and you could just tell it handcuffed him for that split second. He almost got it. He was there, but that little hole was there that it found its way into the net. That's hockey. That's the way it is. I like that he said, hey, you know what? That's part of it. What are you going to do? You buckle down, you try and get the win in the shootout, which they did. But, yeah, you know, great learning experience. I think that's going to be the way the season's going to go, Bob. I really do. I think there's going to be a lot of tight games like there were last year. I think there's going to be that competitive spirit in each and every game because it's a full 82-game schedule. I think for everybody involved in the game of hockey, they want this to go on as cleanly and smoothly as possible to get back to a normal season. And, you know, if you watch that game from anywhere last night, especially inside the building, you understand that people are pretty excited to have it back.
I didn't mention this in the bit of a recap I did. Edmonton won over 60% of their faceoffs last night, and the Canucks were a team that was a top five faceoff team the year before, which is going to bring me to Zach Hyman. I thought he was the best Oiler. He played in every situation. He helped out as a right shot on the PK. Him and Fogle, to me, got the Oilers' offense going in the first period with their net drives. Those are my thoughts on Hyman. Give me yours.
Yeah. I love the wordage there, net drive. And I noticed it with Fogle, especially in the preseason. That's the way he's played. I got to see him play in the playoffs a couple of years. And, you know, he's a big body that just has that instinct to take the puck to the net, to the blue paint, from behind the net especially. Protects, drives it into there, and it just creates chaos. And it's something the Oilers were lacking. They were lacking that inside movement to the net from big bodies. Zach Hyman, the same thing. You know, he's got a nose around the net. The goalie scored. I mean, he just flared out at the right time. Beautiful pass by Dreisaitl on the tape, and he tapped it in. And you're going to see a lot of that this year. But it's the other things that he does. It's the Charlie hustle. You know, the first goal, the way he gets in, the forecheck, I mean, for me, you know, that starts things off, right? You get in there, you initiate a forecheck, you drive to the net, you find a way to make a goal happen, and that's just, you're building off of a situation where it looks like there's nothing there. He did it a couple times last night where he got in the forecheck and just came up with the puck, and that's, you know, puck retrievals are such a huge aspect of the game. I think it's his biggest strength, but, you know, he never really quits on any shift, and that's what, you know, he's built that reputation on, is that work ethic. And that's why the Oilers and a lot of teams were so, you know, eager to go out there and sign him in the offseason. The Oilers are the ones that got him, and he's a big addition to the team. I think for a first game, you couldn't ask for too much more. You saw him in every situation. He drove up the ice a couple times, could have had a couple more points, power play goal. But for me, it's not just a power play goal. I look at all the other things they did in the game, and I appreciate those more than the power play goal, even though the power play goal is obviously important. It's the number one thing you're trying to do is score goals. But yeah, I like the whole complete package that Zach Hyman brings, and we saw it all last night.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Just running down the minutes, Louis, for the forwards. Drysdale and McDavid each played over 24 minutes in last night's game. Of course, they saw a lot of action in the 3-on-3. Puljujärvi did not get a shift in 3-on-3. He played 20 minutes in regulation. Hyman played 17:29. Nugent Hopkins played 21:08. Yamamoto played 18:36. So,
you know, speaking of Yamo, you know, I heard you mention a little. Yamamoto, for me, you know, as the game went on, we started to see that the Yamamoto you expect to kind of see. A little tenacious, you know, a little chippy, call it even sticky if you want to. There's that little extra little drive to kind of get in there and disrupt things. And, you know, the breakaway, he's finished one off in preseason. You know, you would have loved to have seen that go in for Yamamoto early, because I think that's all it is, to be honest with you, Bob. It's confidence. It's just that finishing ability, that confidence coming with that. But creating those chances. You know, that's the thing. If you're creating those chances and turning pucks over and making things happen, good things will happen. It was, I thought, a real good showing. And as the game went on for me, I thought Yamo was starting to really find that stride and be a dangerous player on the ice when he's out there.
Are you concerned that Nurse played 32 minutes last night?
I'm not. You look at the schedule right now, you've got a couple games the Edmonton Oilers do between their first game, their second game, and then a couple more again before their third game. So get the rust out. This is an area that he can play. Certainly you don't want to play him that much. Now, with Duncan Keith going off for that period of time, getting stitched up, I imagine that he got stitched up.
Yep.
Cut on that hit by Tyler Myers. You know, Darnell was out there with a couple different pairings. He played quite a bit with Bouchard, which I actually liked that pairing too. And that's something that we thought, you know, might happen, you know, with Bouchard coming up into the mix, you know, playing alongside Darnell Nurse. We saw him have a great season with Ethan Bear as a youngster in the same situation, a young guy with a veteran player now that essentially can play with anybody. I mean, Darnell Nurse can make anybody look better now, which, you know, is what you like to see in your top defenseman go out there and can handle any situation. I thought Bouchard was pretty comfortable on that right side and also in the penalty-killing role. I thought he was really stable in that penalty-killing role, moving around and finding his pucks to put down the ice, making little plays that look easy, but they're not under pressure. It was a good game for him, too, I thought. I mean, listen, there was some mistakes. There were some turnovers in situations, some lost coverage in situation. You expect that from a first game. You know, heck, it was my first game last night, and I had some marbles in the mouth a few times myself. So you got to kind of work that out as the season goes, but I think for a first one, it had a little bit of everything.
Right now, there's listeners saying, Louis DeBrusk, marbles in the mouth. If you listen to Stauffer on a daily basis, all right. So I want to ask you about Duncan Keith and the play with Myers. That was a hard hit by a big man. I didn't think it was overly dirty. I know you would have loved the response from Colton Sevier on that play.
Yeah, I did. You know, it's funny, you know, because Tyler Myers is one of those players at 6'8", you know, and just a big body. You think to yourself, this guy could be such a menace on the ice because he's a good skater. I classified him, you know, a couple of years ago. I said, you know, my own opinion is he's the best 6'8" skater we've ever seen in the game. You know, honestly, like at 6'8",
yep,
he is a smooth skating big man. There's no question about that. But the one thing, you look at Tyler Myers and you say he has all that size, is he really a physical presence out there? Is he really a guy that kind of makes you kind of think about what you're going to do with the puck because of that, you know, aggressiveness? Well, I'll tell you what. If that's a sign of what he's going to play like this year, that was a big uptick for me, for Tyler Myers. And that hit, you know what? The fact that he pinched that low down into the zone on a defenseman hit. And the thing is, for Duncan Keith, and I'm glad he was okay, because that could have been really ugly. He was really far from the boards the way he fell in. I do believe it was just a cut. Looks always worse. A head wound bleeds a lot more than anywhere else. And, you know, he came right back out there. Duncan Keith has dished it out throughout his career. He's taken it. He's a tough customer. This guy has played through wars. You know, he's not going to get deterred from a hit like that. He saw it coming. He knew the hit was coming. He took the hit to make the play. He did. If you watch the replay, he's got eyes in the back of his head, that guy. He saw that hit coming. He thought he could weather that hit. I just don't think he's ever been hit that hard by a guy 6'8" and the size of Tyler Myers, you know, and he ended up blowing right through him. I think Myers was surprised at how much he went through him, too. But, yeah, I love the reaction from Colton Sevier. You know, listen, this is a gritty guy. Grew up in Red Deer. You know, this is a guy that, you know, he knows exactly what he has to do to stick around the lineup, why he was signed to a contract on a professional tryout. He just came in and just grabbed on him. I don't care what happens in the scrap. I just like seeing the reaction. I like seeing a team
Sure.
stick up for one another. I like seeing a team come together when things like that happen. And I was also happy to see Duncan Keith come back out on the ice. And you know what? For his first game, he did a lot of good things, too. I mean, this is a great defenseman. This guy has done everything in his career, and he's still got a lot left in the tank.
Well, him and CeCe had a very strong analytics game, which was the sharp criticism when the deal was made was, well, the numbers have been horrible. They had the ice tilted when they were on the ice. Louis DeBrusk joining us right now, as he does every... Sorry,
one other thing. Sorry, Bob. Sorry, Kay. One of the things about Duncan Keith, and we tried to get it in last night on the air, and, you know, just obviously lots of things are happening, but the one thing he does great is if you watch him come back for the puck, he comes back really fast all the time to come back and retrieve a puck. And it's just in his DNA to do it. It's just an urgency to get back, get that puck as fast as he can so he has more time to make plays and turn that puck up. And I think that's going to rub off on the defense to the Edmonton Oilers. And I think it's crucial. It's really important, especially with aggressive forechecking the way it is now. The quicker that you can get back, establish that possession, turn your head, take a look, and move that puck up the ice. With the forwards Edmonton has now, that's obviously the game plan, the way they want to play. And I thought they were pretty good at that in situations last night, making that quick little pass through coverage to forwards that were supporting quickly with speed, and then bang, it's down the other way. It was a fast, hard-fought game. It really was. I thought it was end-to-end. Both teams were aggressive, and I'll tell you, if hockey's like that this year, it's going to be so much fun to call.
Louis DeBrusque appears every Thursday in Oilers Now for GCL Diesel, providing genuine diesel parts and turbochargers at great prices since 1972, GCLDiesel.com. All right, Louis. That play last night with Keith, it reminded me a bit of, because I haven't seen Duncan Keith get hit like that too often, and it reminded me of when Dustin Byfuglien flattened Jay Bouwmeester one time. And, like, I've never seen. So I want you to think back to your playing days when a guy, there's some guys that get hit a lot because they put themselves in. This was concerning for me watching Broberg in preseason. It looked like he wasn't familiar with the ice in North America, and he got hit a couple times. And I know it's something that they're going to have to monitor down on the farm. But do you recall playing with a guy, or conversely, did you ever hit a guy that didn't get hit a lot back in the day, that kind of, you know, either you got a surprising hit on a guy once and blew him up, you know, all-star celebrity blow-up, to paraphrase SCTV, blowed him up real good, or conversely, did you ever see a guy, or did you ever get stunningly hit yourself where you got, remember when Gazdik got hit by Byfuglien in Winnipeg?
Oh, yeah. You know, that was a force. Well, you brought Byfuglien up, and obviously Tyler Myers played alongside Byfuglien in Winnipeg, and I remember going in there in that rink, which just seems a little tighter because of the way it's built. It goes straight up, and it's a smaller venue, and it's you know what, that right side with Trouba, Byfuglien, Myers.
Yes.
During that set, you know, it was, you had to have your head up when you're between the benches there when they come and try and hit people at that center ice coming into the zone. You know, the hardest hit I ever had in my career. Excuse me, Peter Sikora. Now, not the offensive Peter Sikora, the big defenseman Peter Sikora, who was like 6'2", 6'3", 225, or whatever he was, 230. I was around the same size. I was playing for Tampa Bay. And I came off the bench and skated as hard as I could to the offensive top of the circles where he was coming around the net, very similar to what Duncan Keith did. He's a defenseman. He got that puck. He came around the net. Now, I had changed. And, you know, for a big guy, I could skate pretty fast straight away. Give me a puck or any turns, I was in trouble. But straight away, I could get a pretty good head of steam going. And there was no slowing down. It was two really big human beings on the ice colliding. And I think I collapsed one of his lungs, maybe his other one too. Like, he was in rough shape afterwards. He took the brunt of the hit, but I felt the effects too. I was coming off of a concussion, and I probably came back a little bit too soon. So that's why I'm a little sensitive to concussions too. And I'll tell you what, I felt the effects of that hit. It was a massive collision. The other one, you know, I always think of that Boyd Devereaux hit. Dallas Drake, who wasn't the biggest guy in the world,
yeah.
You know, and I played with him in Phoenix, and I've talked to you a lot about him. He was just, the art of hitting is
skating through. He skated through guys, Louis.
He was maybe 180 pounds sopping wet. If that, you know, I'm telling you, he was not a big guy. If you saw him in the dressing room, he had narrow shoulders. He was just, you know, no teeth. He was a hockey player. He was just, you know, just a great character and an awesome teammate. But he caught Boyd Devereaux. Kevin Lowe was the coach at that time, and he was screaming at me from the bench. You know, he's so passionate. He was, you know, if he could have, he would have jumped on the ice himself. But, you know, it was just, you know, back then, hits like that were more common. Guys were stepping up and blowing people up, and that was before the headshot rule and all that. And it was just a little more violent of a hit. That one last night was a violent hit. There's no question. That was an aggressive, heavy hit. Unfortunately, he went into the boards the way he went into the boards. He was probably about 8 or 9 feet away from the boards, and that's a dangerous position to be in. And like I said, I'm glad he's okay. I'm glad he came back and played the rest of the game, because you just don't want to see guys get hurt early in the season, especially. You want to kind of work your way into it. But yeah, those are the two that come to mind for me. Me personally, that hit was, I'm telling you, we both ran into each other, Sakura and I, and it was like we both stopped dead in our tracks. It was ugly. It was a pretty heavy collision.
Louis, awesome stuff. We'll see you down at the rink tomorrow.
All right, take care, bud.
That's Louis DeBrusse from NHL Hockey and Rogers. Guests and Oilers now receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night on the town, every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. Go down and see Brendan, Taylor, and Chris.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bruce, Chris, and tell them Oilers Now sent you. When we return, we'll get to the Oilers Now injury report. It's 12:53 in Edmonton.
Hi, this is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, silky smooth in the shootout. Horvat came back with an unbelievable move in the shootout to tie it. And then Kyle Turris. I know you all had him taking a shot in the shootout last night and getting a shift in three-on-three play. Turris with the eventual game winner, Mike Smith. One save better than Thatcher Demko last night. The Oilers 1-0. They play the Flames Saturday, 8 p.m. To the Oilers Now Injury Report, brought to you daily by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. Unrivaled experience, unrivaled commitment, unrivaled results. James H. Brown, Trent Brown, Jim Brown, the gang at James H. Brown. It's this simple. They're the best. Here's Brendan Escott.
Well, Dave Tippett did confirm today that Zach Cassian will return for the Battle of Alberta on Saturday night. Zach Bogosian, though, is out 4 to 6 weeks for the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's got a lower body injury. He was hurt in game one of the season against Pittsburgh on Tuesday.
Oh, there you have it. Now, you can text us at any time at 780-496-0063 on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Bob, for all the people complaining about Darnell Nurse and the time on ice he had last night, Nurse had 32 shifts. Oliver Ekman-Larsson had 33. I was going to say Neil Hughes, and Quinn Hughes had 32. Neil Hughes, former Saskatchewan Rough Rider and Regina Ram from back in the day, had a real good, 2000 Vanier Cup or 2000 Atlantic Bowl or whatever it was called back then. Oilers GM says, Bob, Mike Smith was great for the most part of last night, but he was sleeping on that second goal. Or did he find something attractive in the stands, like a sign or something that was in his? Is that what you're inferring? Smith, obviously, that happens once in a while. A little bit of a flyby with Pettersson in front, and boom, it was in the net. There you go. You can always text us at 780-496-0063. Bob, I'm not going to lie. I think the Oilers are going to be missing Alex Chiasson this year. Look, Alex Chiasson's a good guy. They got Hyman and Puljujärvi on the power play instead of Chiasson. I guess time will tell. We'll see whether or not you're right. I'm really happy for Alex that he got an NHL contract. Bob, the Calgary Flames have lost 11 straight season openers. Really? Is that true? I'm going to have to look into that. I might have a chance to do it. No question. Might have to do it. 780-496-0063. We'll see if we can work it in. It's 12:58 Edmonton. The Oilers coming off a 3-2 shootout victory against the Vancouver Canucks optional practice today, probably a full practice tomorrow. Zach Cassian back for the Flames on Saturday night, and we head off to a Global News weather traffic update. Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.